الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, beloved brothers and elders, Imam Ibn Asakir rahimahullah records an incident in his famous book Tarikhu. He quotes a person by the name of Kumail bin Ziyad, who says, I was once walking with the Khalifa of the time, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu ala al-Jabban, he came up to an open land, a high spot, and then he turned, ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَةِ. He turned towards the graveyard. He looked at the graveyard, and he addressed all the inmates of the grave by saying, Ya Ahl al-Qubur, O people who are buried beneath the soil in this graveyard. Ya Ahl al-Bila, O people who have passed away, whose bones have now become brittle and dry and are withering away. Wa Ya Ahl al-Wahsha, O people who are abandoned, who are left all alone, cut off far away in one corner of society. Mal khabaru indakum. He's addressing all these people, asking them one question. O all the inmates of this graveyard, tell me, mal khabaru indakum. What's the news? What's happening on that realm? Like you and I, we would be sitting here in South Africa, but we would want to know what's happening on another part or in another part of the world. Here he's asking them, what's happening on your side of the world? In that realm, tell me, share with me something I can take benefit. What's your message from that realm to the message of the people of the world? He waited. Yes, the people in the graves, they can hear the living talking to them, but it's not always that you and I are going to hear an answer from the people in the grave. So no answer came through. He said, okay, let me tell you what's happening on this end. Let me share with you what's happening here. He says, I'm going to give you three messages. Number one, قَدْ قُسِمَتِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَأُوتِمَتِ الْأَوْلَادِ وَاسْتُفْدِلَ بِالْأَزْوَاجِ. As far as the money you left behind in this world, every penny, every cent is distributed. It's gone to people. Your hard-earned cash is now sitting in the bank balances and the pockets of other people. Number two, your children have all become orphan. That fatherly figure is no more there. And number three, your wives, your beloved partners, your spouses have all remarried. That's what's happening on this side after you've left. So I'm asking you one more time, mal khabaru indakum? Share with me what's happening on that side. Silence. Kumail says, then Ali radiallahu anhu turned to me and he said, Ya Kumail, لو أذن لهم في الجواب لقالوا. Had they been able to speak and answer, if there was some sort of signal and way of communication via which they could convey a message, you know what they would have said? They would have said one thing. إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. They would have said, the best item, the greatest quality, the best thing you can take as a precious item and commodity from this world into the grave. If we could tell you to capitalize on something, because now we saw that life, we're seeing this life. If there's something we can advise you to hold on to very firmly, what would have been the advice? The best thing you can hold on to, the best provision you can bring before you go into the grave, is the provision of taqwa. Abstain from wrong. The more you're going to abstain from wrong, the greater your comfort is going to be in this grave. The more you stay away from haram whilst you are alive, the greater your ease and your comfort will be when your eyes close. He said, had they been able to speak, they would have said this. In the Quran Kareem, when Allah speaks about Hajj, Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. When you go in for Hajj, then together with taking some worldly provision with you, so that you don't have to beg, borrow and ask from others, then also take the provision of taqwa. Take this taqwa with you. Don't engage in haram. لا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. Don't do anything haram. Don't argue, don't fight, don't debate, don't engage in obscene talk, don't engage in any haram actions whilst you're in Hajj. This is the taqwa that you are taking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be dispatching an army. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, all the Khulafai Rashideen, an army is going. Someone is leaving for an important journey. One of the greatest journeys someone can ever set for is the journey of jihad. Before leaving, what's the standard advice? Adopt taqwa. Stay away from haram. Be careful of your behavior. Do the right things. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, had they been able to give an answer, they would have said that stay away from haram. Adopt taqwa. And then he tells Kumail, O Kumail, al-qabru sanduqul amal, wa indal mawti yatika al-khabar. O Kumail, remember the grave. The grave is your deposit box. It's your safe box. It's a collection point for all the deeds that you do whilst you're alive. It all gets deposited there, good or bad. You'll never know what's waiting for you. The report will only come to you when your eyes close. You'll know what you filled in that grave when your eyes close. Like a person has a money box. And he keeps filling that until he realizes it's full, there's no place for more. He opens. When he cuts that can open, he realizes how much of cash he collected. Like that, your grave is your deposit box. Every day of your life, 24 hours of the day and the night, you are sending something into that grave. But you'll only see what's there when your eyes close. When you go in, then you'll realize whether there's good waiting for you, or Allah forbid, there's something bad waiting for you. Ali radiallahu anhu saw this, he cried. He cried and he mentioned the statement. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. At times, we get negligent, brothers. We forget where we're going, what we're supposed to be doing. We lose track, we lose focus. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. At one point in time in the beginning of Islam, I used to prevent you from visiting the graves. Now the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah, listen carefully everyone, فَزُورُوهَا, go and visit those graves. Why? فَإِنَّهَا تُرِقُّ الْقَلْبِ وَتُدْمِعُ الْعَيْنِ وَتُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. Because the grave, when you go past a graveyard, when you attend a janaza, when you go into a qabristan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying you're supposed to be taking three things. The grave gives you three benefits. Number one, it softens your heart. Number two, it causes tears to flow from your eyes. Number three, it reminds you. It makes you remember the akhirat. So this is what the grave does. It brings you back onto focus. We stay in this world, we get caught up in a lot of things. But when we keep thinking of the akhirat, it brings us back. It brings us back to this quality Ali radiallahu anhu is speaking about. Remember, had they had an ability to speak, they would have said, the best thing you can take with you, the best thing you can capitalize on, the best thing you can earn in this world is taqwa. In the Quran Kareem, the ayat we recited in the khutbah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O people of iman, fear Allah. Adopt taqwa. Then the ayat continues, وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Every soul should take care, should look carefully, should be very careful about what the soul is sending for itself to the akhirat. And then again Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. One ayat, Allah repeats one command twice. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ is mentioned in the beginning, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ again is mentioned in the end. To highlight to us that the only ayat in Quran where Allah, in a span of few words, Allah repeats one command twice in such a short space. This is one of the very few ayat of Quran. Wattaqullah is repeated in this ayat. Teaching us the importance that this taqwa is important. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches us, ittaqil maharim takun a'bad an-nas. We all want to engage in excessive ibadat. We want to exert ourselves, do the best we can, fast nafal, then perform extra salah at night. It's great. Allah give us a tawfiq for that. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ittaqil maharim, stay away from haram, refrain from what is incorrect, and you will become the greatest abid. You'll become the greatest worshipper just by staying away from haram. The good you do is great, but the haram you stay away from is greater. The good you do is great, but the haram you refrain from, you stay away from, that is greater. An incident is recorded again. Ibn Asakir rahimahullah records this incident in Tariq Dimishq, as well as Allama Ibn Kathir, Tafsir al-Quran al-Azim, Tafsir Ibn Kathir, that in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a youngster, Shabun Muta'abbidun, Lazim al-Masjid. There was a youngster who used to engage in ibadat, and he used to dedicate his day and bulk of his time to the masjid. He would always be in the masjid. After Isha, he would leave the masjid, and he had an old father who required his service and his khidmat. This boy used to go from the masjid straight to his father's home to tend to his father's needs. On the way from the masjid to his father's house, there was a woman. This woman was extremely beautiful. And every evening, she used to see this boy. He was also young, handsome, energetic. He used to take this path going to his father's home. And every day she used to see him, she used to try to catch his attention and attract him to herself. But this boy was a pious boy. He used to engage in ibadat. He used to be in the masjid. He, so to say, had a fortification around him. Umar radiallahu anhu used to like this youngster. Anyway, every day he used to avoid her. She used to try. Until one night, she was there. She said something to him. He returned a statement. He probably replied to her salam. And this day, the passion had the better over him. He intended to go and spend the night with this woman. So she was happy. She goes into her home. He's following her. He's about to enter the door when he thinks of Allah. And the intentions he had of going to commit the haram with this girl, it immediately is quelled, it's pushed away from him, and an ayat crosses his mind. What's the ayat? Idna alladhina taqaw, the people of taqwa, the people who fear Allah. Idha massahum ta'ifu min ash-shaytan, when a stray thought of shaitan comes to them, tadhakkaru, they engage their thoughts, they engage their tongues, they remember Allah, they think of Allah. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and suddenly, all of a sudden, the path that they originally were thinking of taking, now their eyes open and they realize what they're doing is wrong. This ayat flashed through his mind, he didn't even enter the house and he passed out. The girl who saw this, she was worried, if people see this boy passed out, if something happens to him, I'll be blamed for harming him or hurting him. She calls her slave girl, they lift him up, both of them, and they know every night he goes to his father's home, they pick him up and take him to the father's house, and they just leave him outside the door. They prop him up, lean him against the wall, and they move away. Some time passed, the father knows that my son normally returns at a certain time. He isn't home as yet, what has happened? The father opens the door to go and search for his son. When he opens that door, he looks outside, his son is seated there. But he's passed out. His father, with the family aid of the family members, he picks this boy up, brings him into the home, and after some time passed, some part of the night passed, the boy's eyes open. He's shocked to see where he is. His father tells him, normally you come at this time, we found you lying outside the door, what has happened to you? So the son brushes everything aside and he says, everything is okay, don't worry. So the father says, no, something is not right, please tell me, I insist on you as a father, tell me what had transpired. So then he goes on, he shares the entire incident. This woman had some evil intentions. I had an inclination towards her. I was about to enter. Then an ayat flashed in my mind. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. His father wanted to know the ayat. The moment he shared the ayat with him, again this boy passes out. He passes out and his father waits for him. They try to revive him. But the second time when he passed out, he didn't pass out temporarily, he passed out permanently. He passed away. So they pick his body up, take it out of the house, they give him ghusl, they perform the janazah salah, and they bury him. It was nightfall, so there were a few people who were present, who were around, they performed the janazah salah. Next morning, Umar radiallahu anhu hears that this youngster had passed away. Umar radiallahu anhu goes to find out. He comes to the father's house in order to console, because it's sunnah to console the bereaved. He speaks to the father, he comforts him, and then he tells the father, Allah adhantani, why didn't you people inform me that this boy passed away? I had a special liking for this youngster. So the father says, it was late at night, we didn't want to disturb you, O Amirul Mu'mineen, that's why we didn't call you. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, come, I missed the janazah, but all of you come with me, let's go to his grave. So they go to the grave of this youngster. And as they standing there, Umar radiallahu anhu, at the grave, he recites an ayat, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. The man, the person who fears standing before Allah to give accountability. This person, because of his fear of Allah, normal person will be rewarded for the effort that he put in, the deeds that he carried out. But this man who fears Allah, Allah says he won't get one jannat. Quran, Allah is saying he'll get a double jannat. He'll get comfort in this world, comfort in the akhirat. When people will be receiving one, this man will be receiving double. Umar radiallahu anhu is basically praising this youngster because he didn't engage in the haram act out of fear for Allah. All those present. Ibn Asakir has the incident recorded. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu, as well as those present, they heard a voice coming out from the grave. That young boy is addressing Umar. Ya Umar, قَدْ أَعْطَانِيهِمَا رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَرَّتَيْنْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has blessed me with this double jannah you're talking about. I'm currently already enjoying that. I barely passed away, but I'm experiencing what you are speaking about in the ayat. This teaches us the importance of fearing Allah. Every one of us, every human being, it's Quran, Allah makes mention, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The element of attraction to the next gender is implanted in every single person. Temptation will come before us. Every one of us has a nafs. We've got temptation within us, carnal desires. We will be inclined to doing wrong, but at that moment, to press that brakes, to be able to control ourselves and not engage in the haram, this is what is termed as taqwa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reminded us, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Frequently, commonly, as often as you can, call to mind, remember, bring to your memory the aspect that will cut off all pleasures, meaning maut. This is something that will cut off every pleasure. Keep remembering this. One person was engaged in business, and many years he was a salesman, and he had to engage with customers very closely. He had to win customers onto his side. And he mentions that in the job, in the position that I hold, it's very dangerous because at times I go to speak to women. And he says there were so many occasions when I could have fallen into wrong, but Allah saved me. So we asked him, what is it that saved you? He said, there was a constant advice. I used to hear from Mulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayh. He always used to say, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, whenever you are faced with a temptation, just think, at this moment, I could be visited by Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut could visit me now. We all know, Mulana used to make commonly in his du'as, oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in the wrong places. So he said, that advice used to come to me, and that is what kept me away from engaging in haram. If we keep this in mind also, this is called taqwa. Fear, how am I going to pass away? That youngster in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, imagine, every night he was saved. He never went to commit haram. He didn't know he's going to pass away, but that night that he was inclined to do the wrong, that was the night his death was written. Had he not moved away on that night, he would have died in the arms of that woman committing a haram act. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him. He thought of Allah. He thought of the ayat. He thought that, what if I die? What's going to happen to me? He refrained. He stayed away. And today we take his name with honor and with respect. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There'll be seven classes of people. Allah will grant shade to those people when there will be no shade, meaning on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will put him under his arsh. One will be that person, وَالرَّجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ جَمَالٍ a beautiful woman, ذات منصب وجمال, a woman with good background, a respectable woman, a beautiful woman, invited him, called him, and brought him to herself. But he said, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, I fear Allah, I cannot engage in this. This man will be honored with so much of respect. Allah will bless him with this. Remember, as we said in the beginning, the good you do is great, but the wrong you refrain from is even greater. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us this ability to refrain from haram and stay away from wrong. May Allah inculcate within us this quality of taqwa. Remember, people will be attracted and temptation will come to us at all times to say the wrong, to do the wrong, to engage in the wrong action or in the wrong transaction. But we keep reminding ourselves, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ لِلَّهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear, what if I pass away now? How am I going to stand before Allah? Will Allah be happy with me? Do I want to go in this position? May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless us with taqwa. May Allah bless us with mubarak maut. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sorry, there's a little announcement. Last week in the Jummah lecture, the speaker spoke about a Nabi who was thrown into the fire, and mistakenly he said that Nabi's name was Musa alayhi salam. The Nabi's name was Ibrahim alayhi salam.